share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The first effort to ban TikTok started under Donald Trump's first term. But now, as the Supreme Court gets ready to hear arguments over what to do with the popular Chinese-owned app, the transition team for the president-elect is making moves to save it.
2 weeks before the high court hears oral argument over TikTok's future, the president-elect urges the justices to delay the January 19th deadline for a sale. His attorney says in the filing that Trump opposes a ban of the immensely popular app and hopes to work out a negotiated resolution that would save it. The Biden administration and key congressional leaders argue that while it's owned by a China-based company, TikTok poses a national security threat, serving as a potential propaganda and surveillance tool for Beijing.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. About 170 million Americans use TikTok every month. About 30 million people are on alert in the South for severe weather, including the threat of tornadoes in some areas. This is ABC News. Former NYPD Chief of Department Jeffrey Madry continues to deny accusations of sexual misconduct. At a news conference on Friday, Madry's attorney, Lambros Lambrou, said his client never harmed anyone.
Those allegations are a lie.
Lieutenant Quathisha Epps has accused Madry of sexually harassing and assaulting her in exchange for $200,000 in overtime. Advocates for domestic violence survivors say the holiday season can be an especially busy time of year at shelters. The Women's Resource Center in Traverse City gets up to 5,000 calls a year. According to Executive Director Juliette Schultz, she says abuse can take many forms.
It's financial abuse. It's psychological abuse, emotional abuse. It's sexual abuse. And it's physical abuse.
The National Domestic Violence Hotline says 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men in the U.S. have been the victims of severe physical violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Congress has extended the 2018 Farm Bill while they continue to work on a new one, leaving Wisconsin farmers somewhat relieved but still worried. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
One of the biggest problems cited with the current Farm Bill is that it was negotiated more than 5 years ago, so the crop reference prices are outdated. Paul Mitchell, agriculture and economics professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, explains the reference prices allow payments to farmers when a crop falls below a certain level.
Prices have been declining on the corn and soybeans, and the process is used to create this support in these times of thin negative margins. They're out of date. Those floors were set in 2018, and you know we've gone through a lot of inflation, and so you know $1,000 isn't what it used to be.
Mitchell says farm organizations have been asking Congress to increase crop reference prices. The farm bill was extended again for another year as a part of a spending bill to avert a federal government shutdown. Mitchell says a lot of uncertainty looms with the incoming administration's goal to cut budget costs.
So my real worry is that agriculture will be collateral damage for the new administration as they pursue other political priorities where, you know, agriculture is not their number one priority. And they will take the cost of agricultural hurt to address these issues they want to address that would partly help them get elected.
Other areas of concern in the farm bill, he says, are crop insurance, conservation programs, and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, which is still offering benefits too low to help those who need them, according to an Urban Institute report. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some fog and drizzle possible today, a high near 42. Southwest winds up to 20, maybe 25 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 33. Clouds and 40 for Sunday, sun and 40 on Monday, 36 with snow Tuesday. Right now, 40 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This is our Best of 2024 edition. We started New Wisco Weekend in July of this year, and since then, we've expanded our team of correspondents to include civic media reporters from throughout the state. I have a couple of great feature stories for you, like from the Oshkosh Community Pantry, the Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Shelter, and a comedian who makes the Midwest her home and part of the joke. Joanne Krulatz helps us stay on track with healthy holiday food choices. Conrad Krieger gives us his best sports-related feature story from the year. Brittany Merlot is proud of her work as a weather ambassador, and she shares her favorite feature. Pete Schwabba shares his favorite classic movie pick of the week, and Amanda Nimmer takes a look back at preparing for the illogical. Melissa Kay has a very important medical story that all women need to take heed of, and Todd Michaels shares the story of an Oshkosh musician on his way to doing great things. It's our Best of 2024 for New Wisco Weekend.
And I tell you now that I made a vow. I'm giving you the best that I've got, baby.
Sometimes change can be really good. Alicia Wenger, executive director with Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services, recently conducted a tour of their new facility, which is just across a parking lot from their old building. She said they're calling the new shelter and location Christine Ann 2.0.
We really only had to do very minor renovations with this building, and it was just on the first floor and to create a play area outdoors.
The first floor holds common gathering spaces, meeting rooms, rooms for support groups to meet, a community clothing closet, and a pantry. Where the new facility shines is its second and third floors, which feature the emergency shelter and transitional housing apartments.
We will be going from 37 beds to 64 beds. And then on the third floor, we will be adding a brand new program that is focused specifically on transitional housing. So folks will be able to stay with us from 6 months all the way up to 2 years.
While clients who look to Christine Ann for shelter were living in a shared communal space, in the new building, they have apartments. The apartments vary in size from studio to larger two-bedroom apartments for families. Each apartment has a kitchen, bath, seating area, and beds. Wenger said another program they'll be able to offer survivors of domestic abuse that they never could have at the other location is the ability to bring their pets with them.
We are the fourth known shelter in the state of Wisconsin that will be able to accommodate survivors and their animals. We know that, you know, a lot of people don't even consider shelter as an option if they can't bring their animals with them. Their furry family members in fear that their animal may be harmed if left behind.
The new location for Christine Ann allows the organization to have dedicated office space for community partner agencies to provide office hours to meet with clients. Wenger says this is important for the convenience, but also for the safety of their clients.
It eliminates the safety barriers that folks have if they don't feel safe leaving here. It eliminates transportation barriers and also childcare barriers.
During the tour, Ross, the shelter's canine advocate, joined the group for a little bit of attention.
Hi.
Hi, Ross. This is Ross. Ross is our canine advocate. He's a good boy.
Wenger said Ross comes from Journey Together, and he works right alongside his handler to provide comfort and companionship to clients. Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services is named in honor of Christine Ann Clark, who was murdered by her ex-husband during a child exchange in the area. Her portrait hangs in the main hall leading to the front desk.
She's kind of the symbol of hope for anyone who needs our services.
The renovation of the beach building to make it ready for Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services cost about $7 million. Wenger says they're very close to funding it completely.
I'm really proud to say that we only have about $600,000 left in that. So we're in the final push here. Anything and everything given at this point is so appreciated.
Wenger says donations and volunteers are always needed and welcomed at Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services. You can find wish lists and volunteer information at christineann.net. The new location of Christine Ann Domestic Abuse Services is 240 Algoma in Oshkosh. Solutions Recovery will purchase the building that Christine Ann is moving out of and will be providing support to those impacted by alcohol and drug addiction. Reporting for New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Connor Krieger, and this year, as part of the New Wisco Weekend team, I got to do stories about sports and other features. In this story, where I talk with Spencer Young, who does fence painting in Lombardi Avenue, is my favorite from this year.
Go, Pat, go!
When you're driving down Lombardi Avenue going to a game, you can see paintings on fences. Whether it's Jordan Love or any Packers player, to an actor that has showed love for Wisconsin throughout his whole career. Have you ever wondered how those paintings got there? Well, I talked to an artist who has done some of these paintings, Spencer Young, who shares more details on his company Forever Young Designs and where he got his inspiration for these fantastic pieces you can see all over Green Bay.
I kind of wanted to incorporate my last name, which is Young. My parents, who are the most hardest working people like you would ever meet, and instilled like great work ethic, and they have a really great life. You know, I kind of wanted to incorporate that same philosophy into my business and also carry on a legacy. Yeah. So I thought, well, nothing better than Forever Young, you know, and it kind of carries with that tradition where it might work and stand the test of time. No matter like if you're older, if you're younger, I feel like everyone appreciates my artwork, and you know, I'm just kind of blessed that a lot of people do enjoy it.
Definitely. So what got you interested in starting to do like design work, art, graphic design?
Art has always been a staple in my life. My grandpa was a rustic painter, so he would paint on like saw blades, like birdhouses, pretty much anything that like family and friends would want to hang in their house, he would paint it for them. Cool. So I remember just like watching him at the table and do that. I'm like, well, I'm going to pull up a paper and a pen and I'm going to draw with him. And it was always like friendly rivalry when it came to like drawing. And like, I remember being like middle school and he's like, I can't draw with you anymore. I was like, why? And he's like, you're better than me. And I just like... I never do it for the competition. I just enjoy painting with and drawing with my grandpa, you know, and I think he knows. I hope he knew that. Like, that's, you know, the reason, like, he literally did pave the way for my career and for what I'm doing right now. So I'm, pun intended, forever great, forever young, grateful for that. So
how does it feel like having these paintings so close, you know, to Lambeau? Yeah. So, you're a Packers fan, I assume?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's so surreal. Like going back to my grandpa was like the biggest Packer fan like I ever knew. And like he would be grinning ear to ear on a cloud somewhere, just like knowing like I know that fence and my grandson's painting that fence, which I mean, it is surreal because it is like it grew into its own entity. Like it is part of Green Bay tradition. And to be, you know, associated with that Green Bay tradition is like a tremendous honor. And I can't let the fan base down. So we got to go go all out every year. So
I think it's cool, too, is that there's a lot of people that rent out those houses around there.
Yeah.
You know, coming from anywhere, so they can come and see your paintings like that. So I think that's pretty cool.
Most definitely. Well, and I painted every home game last season except for the Chiefs game. And I thought that was, like, a tremendous honor in itself where I get compliments from Packer fans, which is amazing. But, like, to have, like, the Bears fans come out here and be like, dude, your work is amazing. And it's just like, yeah, I know your team isn't the greatest, but I appreciate the compliment at the same time. So,
you got any new fences coming soon? Or
we got
murals?
Some stuff in the works. Yeah. So, the iconic Packers fence that I normally paint is going to be my 10th season painting it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, it's going to be the day before the first home opener, which is September 14th.
Yeah.
I'll be out there all day unveiling a new theme for that fence.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, I mean, we got a couple other things in the works too. So I want to keep that on the down low and kind of surprise the fan base when it comes. But trust me, it'll be exciting for everyone.
That was Spencer Young with Forever Young Designs. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
It's never easy to diet, and it's even worse during the holidays. But Joanne Krulatz has the story on how you can make healthy choices.
With all the holiday gatherings with family and friends happening, it's sometimes difficult to keep nutritional goals in mind. But there are steps you can take to stay on track when cookies and candies are all around. Shayna Schertz is a wellness education specialist with Gunderson Health System.
We have family gatherings and work gatherings, and oftentimes our goals are kind of push to the side. And so a couple of things that you can do to make your holidays easier in regards to eating is to go in with a plan. So you can go in to the party, choose what foods that you really want to eat that are special, that aren't there all year round. Have a small portion of that food and then move on. There's always tomorrow to get back on track and get back to your regular life. If you're heading out to a party, make sure that you eat a well-balanced meal first. You don't want to go into a party hungry. Second, peruse the table, choose those whole nutrient-dense foods first, and then have smaller portions of the foods that you normally can't have or normally aren't around. Cheese and crackers, you can have that any time of the year. So do you really want the cheese and crackers over the holidays, or do you want to save that for grandma's pie or something that you don't get all year round? I would map out a plan ahead of time. Again, I wouldn't not eat before you go out to a party. I wouldn't have a small snack that's balanced with protein, whole grains, get in some fruits and vegetables. And then at each party, maybe you want to aim to have X number of fruits or vegetables. And then again, just having the smaller portions of those special foods. Just trying to keep each meal that you have as nutrient rich as possible is important to help give you energy and feel energized throughout the holidays.
So I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine?
When we come back, Pete Schwabba's favorite movie pick of the year, and Brittany Merlot talks weather. But first, in 2024, the Atlantic hurricane season proved to be one of the costliest on record, with damages of almost $200 billion. The Paris Olympics captivated the world this year, and here in the U.S. of A., Donald Trump was reelected president following a tumultuous campaign season. This is New Wisco Weekend.
Come and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? the answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media Radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This week, we're revisiting some of our favorite features and segments from 2024. Here's Pete Schwabba.
As part of the New Wisco Weekend team, I get to do the classic movie pick. One of my favorites of the year was talking about the film Quick Change, a hidden gem where Bill Murray and friends successfully rob a bank but can't seem to find their way out of New York City. I know you'll like it.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
This week's classic flick might have flown under your radar. It involves New York City, a clown, and a bank robbery. It's 1990's Quick Change, starring Bill Murray, Gina Davis, and Randy Quaid. The film opens with Murray's character, Grim, robbing a bank while dressed as a clown. After taking all the bank's customers hostage, including its elderly security guard, hilariously played by the legendary Bob Elliott, Grim gives the NYPD an ultimatum. Meet his demands, which include a helicopter and a monster truck, or he'll blow the place up. Every time a demand is met, he lets a hostage go. First, it's Randy Quaid, then Gina Davis, and then Murray, who exits the bank after having ditched the clown getup like he's one of the hostages. The gimmick buys the bank-robbing trio some time to sneak away with all the money they took. The only problem is they can't seem to get out of New York City, which was the whole point for robbing the bank in the first place. Their escape plan goes south when they get robbed themselves, have a run-in with the mob, and can't find the freeway due to a construction zone.
Let's just walk through this, okay? Does that sign say BQE?
Yeah!
Okay, so which way was the arrow pointing?
That was an hour ago, and that witch ain't stopped screaming the whole time.
Yeah, she even had her baby screaming at us. All right, let me try this. Will you be putting up a new sign?
Not today.
Today's just take down. Can you tell us anything? The names of a street, any street, the directions, north, south?
It's not our neighborhood.
Honey, babe? You've got a gun. Shoot them.
I want to, but they're fur-bearing. I'd need some kind of permit, wouldn't I?
See, I want to thank you guys. You could have given us help, but you've given us so much more.
Hey, that's what we're here for, right?
The movie is one frustrating scene after another for our anti-heroes as the city they try to escape from says no way. One of the film's funniest scenes includes Northeast Wisconsin native Tony Shalhoub. Quick Change was one of Shalhoub's first film roles in which he plays a cab driver who doesn't speak English and he literally owns the scene. This hilarious heist film was co-directed by Bill Murray and Howard Franklin. It has big laughs, lots of tension, and brilliant suggestion on how to rob a bank. Quick Change never got the attention it deserved, but we can change that here in Northeast Wisconsin as it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and as a Weather Ready Nation ambassador, I hope you enjoyed the weather-filled, fun, and informational stories that I've brought you this year. This specific one is my top pick because winter is my favorite season. Since I'm always out and about, I've got tips and tricks to help keep you safe and warm this season. Okay, I know, it's a really warm weekend with rain, but you know more winter weather is just on the horizon. Here's how to handle it best. First and foremost, remember when you hit the road, go slow and give yourself extra following distance from other cars. The Wisconsin State Patrol says that 9 people were killed and over 2,000 were injured in the state just last winter. Right now, it's time to get the snow tires on and load the back of the pickup trucks with some weight.
This weekend, you'll also want to get the winter weather emergency kits ready and in your car, like a flashlight, batteries, blankets, extra gloves, hat, food, water, a shovel, and kitty litter or sand. That's so you can throw it down to gain traction if you're stuck in a snowbank. Wisconsin experiences an average of 3 to 6 winter storms during the season. Last winter, the highest one-day snowfall total in the state was 17 inches in Washington County in the town of Jackson on January 13th. But last season was slow for snow. In fact, tons of businesses suffered with the lack of it, especially in the Northwoods. So what can we expect for this winter? Well, I talked to Matt Friedline from the National Weather Service.
So a weak La Nina tends to be better for that, to keep it snowing that, and frequent systems, the Alberta Clippers, as we say. So a lot of nickel and dime snow opportunities, more frequent cold air intrusions too.
And just so you know, the NWS also simplified their winter terminology for cold weather events. They took away the wind chill advisories, watches, and warnings, and now they're going to be called cold weather alerts. For example, wind chill watches will now be called an extreme cold watch, while what was once known in the frozen tundra as wind chill warnings will now go by extreme cold warnings.
Because what would happen in the structure that we had been in was you could have the winds usher in the cold air in, say, January, and the wind chill headlines are out, but then the winds end, but then some of the coldest temperatures happen in the wake of that, and there'd be no headlines from us in the weather service. So even though it would still be dangerous out, cold is cold is the approach here and the simplification.
And the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says that there were 45 cold-related deaths in the state last year, with 861 emergency department visits and 225 hospitalizations in the state from cold-related illnesses. And the temperatures are about to take a dip, so make sure that you know what the signs of frostbite look like.
It's being smart and reminding young people or elderly who may not always remember or have adequate resources to be able to dress warmly and to ensure that furnaces are working, remind the kids to dress warmly when outside. That might not be the first thing on their mind, because when it gets really cold, it doesn't take long for frostbite to set in, and it can be deceptive, or your car is not working all of a sudden, and now you're out in the cold. So those type of things, it's really important to prepare for.
This is why we say reduce your time outside, including your pets. Make sure you wear several layers of loose-fitting, lightweight clothing instead of one single heavy layer, because the last thing that you want is sweating and triggering hypothermia, and it can sneak up quickly. And at home, stock up on additional supplies and have a plan for what to do if you lose power. Do you have extra batteries and other alternative power sources, like a power bank or a generator? So I guess now you're ready to let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. After all, this is Wisconsin. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Melissa Kay gives us some of our best medical stories here on New Wisco Weekend. And in October, she had a very important one on breast cancer.
Breast cancer is becoming an increasingly common diagnosis in women under the age of 40. Younger women have denser breast tissue. Cecilia Strode is an MD and breast surgeon at Aspirus.
Mammogram may not be enough, especially if they have other risk factors. And so what we add to that is screening MRI. And with a screening MRI, we can find very small tumors also in women who have dense breasts that would have otherwise gone unrecognized.
However, unless deemed medically necessary, screening MRIs are not completely covered by all insurance in the U.S. Lifestyle choices can reduce your chances of developing cancer.
The Mediterranean diet is kind of the recommended diet at this point. More physical activity and exercise is better, but even a little bit goes a long way.
Also, zero alcohol intake. I'm Melissa Kay.
You're simply the best. Better than all the rest.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, a Green Bay area comedian who makes her Midwest roots part of the joke will prepare for the illogical with Amanda Nimmer, and a new Wisco food pantry expands to help everyone in Wisconsin who may be facing food insecurity. We'll be right back.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubosky. The first effort to ban TikTok started under Donald Trump's first term. But now, as the Supreme Court gets ready to hear arguments over what to do with the popular Chinese-owned app, the transition team for the president-elect is making moves to save it.
2 weeks before the high court hears oral argument over TikTok's future, the president-elect urges the justices to delay the January 19th deadline for a sale. His attorney says in the filing that Trump opposes a ban of the immensely popular app and hopes to work out a negotiated resolution that would save it. The Biden administration and key congressional leaders argue that while it's owned by a China-based company, TikTok poses a national security threat, serving as a potential propaganda and surveillance tool for Beijing.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. About 170 million Americans use TikTok every month. About 30 million people are on alert in the South for severe weather, including the threat of tornadoes in some areas. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Badgers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college hockey, it's the Wisconsin Badgers against Ferris State tonight at Five Serve Forum. It's part of the holiday face-off tournament going on this weekend. The Badgers hope to improve their record of 7-10-1. NFL, the Packers face the Vikings in Minnesota. 3:25 tomorrow, Viking star wide receiver Justin Jefferson.
Just going against Green Bay, you know, everybody know we hate them and they hate us. The fans know. Just the whole rivalry in general is something to get juiced up about. So I definitely rank this one high.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
I mean, all the motivation is right there. It's division opponent. Obviously, they beat us first game. So we're going into their place. And, you know, we want to get some of that revenge that we're looking for. So we're trying to go down there and handle business in the NFC North, which we've dropped a couple games already this year. So we need to go get a win.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some fog and drizzle possible today, a high near 42. Southwest winds up to 20, maybe 25 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 33. Clouds and 40 for Sunday, sun and 40 on Monday, 36 with snow Tuesday.
Right now, 40 degrees.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. Be looking for another challenge in 2025. Defying precedent, the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full 8th Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full Fifth Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the Fifth Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the Eighth Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt. Join me this Sunday from 1 to 2 here on WGBW as we talk about homelessness during the holidays in Green Bay.
Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, Sunday afternoons at 1 on 97.9 WGBW and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is the best of New Wisco Weekend 2024. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Can living in the Midwest be funny? One of our favorite stories this year featured a Green Bay comedian who likes to hold a mirror up to our faces to make us giggle. Here's Kristen Leidy.
I've been a union organizer for 15 years. In 2018, I decided to move home to Green Bay, Wisconsin to get sober and build union power. Yeah, which is a sentence no one has ever said before. I appreciate the love on that. When I first moved home, that was not the vibe. It was more like, go home, you socialist! Like,
I am home.
Green Bay's Kristen Leidy jokes that her day job as a union organizer doesn't inspire spontaneous eruptions of joy, but she found a release in the form of comedy.
For the past 15 years, I've been a union organizer, and no one calls us because they're having a good day. It was kind of like figuring out, okay, how can I build joy and do this in a way that fulfills me and also, you know, make people happy? And then I was living in Chicago, and I went to an open mic and thought, well, I can do that.
Leidy performs her stand-up comedy routines 3 weekends a month throughout the Midwest. She's performed in Los Angeles, Atlanta, and throughout the country. While she might be the life of the party now, she was never considered to be the class clown in school.
I was very quiet and honestly skipped school a lot.
A graduate of the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay and Preble High School, Leidy discovered her love for performing after she moved to Chicago. She began hitting open mic nights with fellow comedians to hone her craft.
And you know, like in those rooms where it is just dead silent and everyone is judging you with daggers in their eyes. Like if you can make them laugh, like, you did it.
She says it didn't take her long at all to know that this is what she wanted to be doing with her time and talents. Her fate was sealed the very first time she took to the open mic stage.
I got huge laughs in a way that just like filled my soul and made me 100% addicted.
Leidy's comedy might be given a not safe for work or NSFW tag as not being corporate clean, but she says that doesn't limit her audience.
I would say I'm more niche, you know, I'm kind of a weirdo. I like to talk about Catholic school and getting sober and sometimes politics, you know, kind of all over, just like daily life experiences here in the Midwest.
Yeah, so sober dating. Wow, that's a new level of hell. Yeah, I joined soberandsingle.com up in Green Bay and it was just me. Took myself out to Olive Garden. It's a nice time.
Leidy may have found laughs her first time behind the mic, but she says her journey in comedy has not been all glitter and pomp. There were a few obstacles that had to be overcome, including some sexism.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows that are all male lineups. It's harder as a woman, definitely. Like, you have to be on 100% of the time. You can never fail because then it's like, oh, all women aren't funny because she wasn't funny that one Tuesday night we saw her. You know, so there's a lot more judgment.
Leidy moved back to the Green Bay area where she would like to see more venues for comedy.
That's kind of what was exciting about moving home to Green Bay. Like, I was leaving a huge art scene in Chicago, obviously, but I really wanted to build something here and something unique. And I'm excited to be back home and doing that.
Where can you hear Kristen Leidy? Well, in November 2023, Leidy was at the Altercation Comedy Fest in Austin, Texas. She recorded her first comedy album there. It's called Disassociation Vacation and is available through multiple streaming platforms and on vinyl.
Oh, man, there's no Heathers in my family, no Britneys, Tiffanys, nothing like that. I come from a long line of sturdy Midwestern women. Yeah. In my family, we have Agnes, Bernice, Martha. You break into Martha's house, you're not coming out.
Leidy also hosts a podcast called Bloody Mary, in which she and other comedians, professors, and musicians discuss their all-time favorite horror movies. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. new Wisco weekend, we call Amanda Nimmer our female Andy Rooney or a modern-day Irma Bombeck. Whatever we call her, she's funny. And here she is with her best of.
So far in this program, you've been hearing about different ways to prepare. Preparing for the weather, preparing financial decisions, or preparing on how to get out of a really bad situation. And those are good, responsible things that you should take time and care into planning. Those types of preparedness are the logical ones, the responsible ones, and the right ones. But what about preparing for the illogical? Before someone can prepare for the illogical, you need to define what is illogical. What type of scenario may or may not ever happen, but maybe you want to start preparing for it. And that, my friends, is going to be alien invasion, asteroid impact, solar death, supervolcano eruption, some kind of economic or societal collapse, some kind of religious rapture, or one of my favorites to think about, the zombie apocalypse. Okay, stop. Don't turn your dial. Okay. Yes, this is childish. Yes, this is silly. But some of these things might actually happen. May or may not in our lifetime, but maybe on one of those long road trips or a particularly boring meeting, you find yourself looking out the window and wondering, is that building over there secure enough to keep zombies out? And that is the beginning of preparing for the illogical. Here are some steps to consider. Step one, who are you bringing with you? The world is currently panicking. There is a zombie apocalypse knocking at your door right now, and you need to get out and find a meeting place with the people who are going to be a part of your group. So where is it? Where is your meeting place? That's going to be step one. After you have a meeting place, of course, you've probably already considered where are you and your friends either going to travel to? Where are you going to take your family to hide? Is there a bunker? These are things to consider. Step two, food and supplies. Now, in any type of apocalyptic or panic situation, people are always going to loot. So do not go to the box stores. Of course, they're going to be hit up. And also, a box store is definitely not the place to hide or hole up in when it comes to a zombie apocalypse. A, too many windows. B, things can get in through the vents. C, it's too big to maintain. You need something that you can learn like the back of your hand and has minimal access points. Step two, while the internet access is still available, please tell me that you are downloading anything on what it's like to live in the wild. Society might be coming to an absolute collapse. You're going to need to know these things or have access on how to know these things. For instance, do you know how to doctor a wound? Do you know how to forage? Do you know how to hunt in the wild or fish? These are things that you will need on hand during your apocalyptic expedition. Step three, weapons. Everyone goes for the pew-pews, okay? The pew-pews are not the best apocalyptic weapon. In the beginning, sure. But when you are trying to hide and not get into any type of combatic situation, you're going to want something quiet, you're going to want something light, and you're going to want something swift. Has Hunger Games taught us nothing? That's all I'm going to say. Step four, have access to clean water. And if you don't have access to clean water, the whole downloading all that information stuff before the internet goes out will be really helpful when it comes to distilling and debacterializing your water. Life straws. Get one now. You never know when you're going to need them. Step five for this segment, because we are getting basically to my cutoff point. When it comes to food options, make them renewable. Of course, canned food and MREs are great in the beginning, especially when you're traveling, trying to find a nice safe haven to live the rest of your days, at least periodically, until society gets things under point, which could be, you know, many, many moons from now. But they are not sustainable over time. So whatever food sources you have, you need to make sure they're renewable. You need to make sure that you are planting seeds, planting the roots. If you got potatoes, man, I mean, all you got to do is put one potato in the ground, wait a while, you're going to have so many more potatoes. Watch the movie Mars with Matt Damon, for crying out loud. You'll learn that you can live off of potatoes. Holes, they lived off onions. Make sure your food sources have the ability to be renewable, because you never know what might happen in a societal collapse, end of the world situation, or zombies. And we have to cut off the discussion right here, because yes, I could go on for hours. There are so many other decisions that you have to learn to make or plan for, but this is a starting point to planning for the illogical. Will it ever happen? Man, I hope not. But in case it does, guess what? You're already part of the way there.
It never hurts to be prepared in any situation. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
In October, a food pantry that normally services just Winnebago County expanded and will now help people facing food insecurity throughout the state. We had that story on New Wisco Weekend. The Oshkosh Area Community Pantry, which acts as a food pantry for southern Winnebago County, changes a policy that will allow it to serve more people in the area. Starting this month, OACP no longer requires guests to reside within its current southern Winnebago County service area to use the pantry. This policy change will allow OACP to extend its services to all neighbors in need, regardless of place of residence.
We have decided to drop our service area completely, meaning technically anybody from the entire state of Wisconsin is going to be able to come to our pantry to receive the necessary foods that they want or need. What does that really mean? Do we really think that folks from La Crosse and Wausau and Chippewa Falls are all going to come to our pantry? Probably not. No. But geographically, we'll be able to expand ourselves to Fond du Lac, Appleton, Neenah, Menasha, Green Bay. So being able to open our community up a little bit more.
That's Ryan Rasmussen, the executive director of the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry. For years, OACP has been dedicated to providing food assistance with dignity and respect. Located at 2551 Jackson Street in Oshkosh, the pantry's been a beacon of hope, offering a welcoming and barrier-free environment for individuals and families facing food insecurity.
We truly believe in the dignity and respect of all of our guests. And so we set our pantry up just like a grocery store. Folks are able to shop the aisles just like they would anywhere else, which really separates us from a lot of other pantries rather than getting a preloaded box of food.
Rasmussen says the OACP offers each of their clients about $6,000 per person, per family, per year in food assistance.
When you think about trying to take that $6,000 to be able to do something else with it, that's really the power of what we're trying to do. You know, use that money for other things.
So why this change now? Well, the removal of the residency requirement falls in line with the new TFAP regulations set to go into effect this month. The Emergency Food Assistance Program, or TFAP, is a federally funded program that provides healthy foods to pantries that donations don't often cover. Things like milk, eggs, meat, fresh fruits and vegetables. Most pantries that participate in TFAP rely on the program for its diverse amount of food. Under previous TFAP requirements, Wisconsin pantries were required to verify guests and their residences in order to receive TFAP food. However, in October, the state no longer enforces this policy, and pantries are to remove this as a requirement to reduce barriers when accessing emergency food. This shift is anticipated to make a considerable impact on reducing food insecurity across Wisconsin, ensuring that no one is turned away due to their place of residence.
Listen, we are all one major thing away in life from being food insecure. One decision and we're food insecure. You know, think about the person that has to have some sort of medical procedure and maybe they don't have great insurance. And then all of a sudden they're stuck in a situation where they've got to pay bills.
Rasmussen says each month the pantry sees 75 to 90 new families come in for help. For anyone who would like to support OACP's mission of eliminating food insecurity as a volunteer or as a donor of food or a donor of funds, visit oacptoday.org or call 900-651-9960 for more information. The Oshkosh Area Community Pantry is open for guest shopping at their location at the St. Vincent de Paul Building at 2551 Jackson Street in Oshkosh, Mondays from 2 until 6 p.m. and Tuesdays through Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. Reporting for New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. This is the best of New Wisco Weekend. Coming up, our favorite music segment of the year featuring Todd Michaels.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you. And highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
A New Wisco Weekend, we have news, we have features, we have commentary, and we have music. Here's one of our favorite musical segments from the year. They say art and beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but it can certainly be in the ear of the beholder. And Oshkosh's own Lamar Walker is working hard to create that kind of art. New Wisco Weekend's Todd Michaels meets up with the young rapper and singer to talk about his journey in music.
Meet Lamar Walker, better known by his stage name Lil L.A. Mars.
Freshman year, my teacher jokingly nicknamed me L.A. Mar for fun. Then in my sophomore year, I took that name and put a Z at the end, and I converted to L.A. Mars. After that, right before junior year, I decided to make a meaning for it, which is L.A. Mars is an abbreviation for Lil Last Alien on Mars. Me being on a higher level in life, knowing how unique I am.
Originally from Milwaukee, Lil L.A. Mars moved to Oshkosh just a year and a half ago, but treasured his time in Milwaukee.
I had a good life. I was in the suburbs the majority of my life in Milwaukee. So it's a small world. It's truly a small world in Milwaukee. You know everybody on every block, on every street, maybe. But then, yeah, like I do not regret living there at all. Like that's my home.
While admitting that Milwaukee is a small world, he also says Oshkosh is a community where everyone knows just about everyone else, and his move to Northeast Wisconsin was not planned.
It was really on a whim because I wasn't planning to come to Oshkosh. My mom and my sisters was already living here for a couple years before me, and I was in a situation with my father and my stepmom, and look where we're at now. So it's like a year and a half later. I've gained so much since, and I do not regret it at all.
Despite music being his passion, Lil L.A. Mars faced skepticism early on. His father told him that music was just a hobby. And rather than discourage him, those words fueled his determination to prove his potential and achieve his dreams.
What's funny about when he said that is that he supported me so much before that. It just led up to him saying that because I was procrastinating. So he had almost every right to say that at that point. I later figured that out, but it did hurt me. It did hurt me a lot. I've talked to him recently and he's proud. Like I can tell he's proud because knowing that his son is actually doing something, not just doing something, he's creating an impact. And I want to say thank you to my dad because, and I have, and I said it in a full video that I've created about it too. If he didn't say that, I wouldn't be this far.
Lil L.A. Mars' interest in music goes way back.
I've been wanting to be a musician ever since I was like six because I was singing since then and I fell in love with the idea of Michael Jackson back in the day, and still to this day, I'm fascinated by everything he does. Like, I studied everything about him, and I look at it, and I use him as a reference in a lot of things that I do, even everyday things sometimes. So it's like my fashion, the way that I speak.
While it might be easy to think of Lil L.A. Mars as just another young local rapper, if you look and listen deeper and longer, you'll find quite a bit more diversity.
I feel like me being diverse is the best thing for me because I always love the idea of being versatile and just bringing back Michael Jackson again. Like he's done it all. Like he basically done every genre. I don't think people realize that Michael Jackson is able to do jazz music and he was doing tap dancing back in the 70s. So that proves like he could do almost every genre if he felt like it.
While he's played smaller gigs and open mics across Oshkosh, he got his first big break last weekend with a show at Oblio's Lounge on Main Street. That show coincided with another big event.
I actually have a new album coming out. So that's also amazing. I do have a few songs out for the album as well. as singles, like lead singles, but I'm trying to wait for the, like the actual album to like really push it out and everything. I want to like really hone myself being like the original artist rather than just, oh, he has this style from this guy, this guy, this guy. The influences are there, of course, but it's never me wanting to be that person. It's just my influence is there, but it's crammed up into this one body.
While pondering what's next, Lil L.A. Mars ends up taking a trip back in time and makes a revelation about music in his life.
In the next year and a half, I should be selling out shows in Atlanta because that's my next big move, because my real plan the whole time before coming to Oshkosh was me leaving to Atlanta. But me being here was just the best thing for me because seeing people in real time supporting who I am. And when I first started in 2017, I started, you know, just by freestyling with friends, like at the lunch table. Just the whole thing about that, thanks to Eric David out there. His name, he just usually go by Mr. Ash back in the day. But it really gets deeper because he gave me my first mic. So he gave me my first Blue Yeti mic, and I still have it today. I got a shout out to my older one, Mr. Nowak and Miss Leroy. The teachers that really molded me into being more the musician. I started looking at music in a different way. I don't know how, but it was just, you ever get that spark where something just gets clear out of nowhere? Just like, okay, this is it. You're kind of confused at first. It's like, how come I didn't look at this sooner? Like, how come I didn't visualize the idea of what I really wanted like this sooner? As soon as that day happens, it's like, that's when you know. That's when you truly know that it's about you. It's about what you're trying to do.
You can stream Lil L.A. Mars on Spotify and Apple Music. You can also like and follow him on his socials. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Todd Michaels.
On the corner, some people gathering all around at this coffee shop. Too much going on in this town. Beside this place, the sun says Tuesday, 7 through 9. After a mic in the stage. To showcase talent through the night. This ain't coming, this ain't something. All is welcome, so feel free. I'm on my way, such a nice day. I love that I'm across the street. Sign your name on the list. So you could be nasty to do your thing. But like it's different for you. Can you show a whiff, but you bring it. Swift and smooth, the crowd laughs loud, and it's like they're proof. They want more and more and fast. I have to get out there before it's a wrap. Hey, somebody, keep on vibing. We need as much as we can feel. Don't be fancy, get up dancing. The flow of music is daring. My name is Nest on the list. It's about to go down, I'ma do my thing. You said it's dancing for me. Let's see if the results are the same. Let's vibe.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, the best of 2024. New Wisco Weekend is produced, written, and directed by Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, with additional features by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, Joanne Krulatz, Todd Michaels, and Peach Waba. We have commentary from Amanda Nimmer. Thank you for helping New Wisco Weekend have a great 2024. You can email lisa.hale@civicmedia.us, or you can text via the Civic Media app if you ever have a story you'd like to hear covered. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Dom Selvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, Visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. He's not taking explicit responsibility, but Russian President Vladimir Putin is apologizing to Azerbaijan's president for the plane crash this week that killed 38 people on an Azerbaijan Airlines flight. A new statement from the Kremlin says Putin apologized for the fact that the tragic incident occurred in Russian airspace and that Russian air defense systems were active against Ukrainian drones at the time the plane was landing. Ukraine has so far not commented. Mortgage rates rose again this week.
The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is now 6.85%, and rates are expected to stay in that 6% range next year.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. 5 million people in parts of East Texas, much of Louisiana, and southern Mississippi are now under a tornado watch. It comes during what's expected to be a busy travel period, with over 54 million passengers expected to fly this winter season. This is ABC News.